Boys, say lessons from the late Parshas Noach. Amazingly, we start the Torah again. Unfortunately, as usually happens, I noticed in previous years, I don't get to give a Dvar Torah for Bereishis, and I almost didn't get one for Noach. But I called my dear friend Gadi, now you're on Yadar, and I said, Gadi, we got to organize something. Get some of the guys here. Okay, Shir Aleph, we didn't do, but some Shir Bet guys here, Baruch Hashem, I'm flying tonight, and I really hate to do lessons from the lathe in the privacy of my own home. It seems weird. This morning when I was recording the smaller lessons from the lathe, I was on my way to Shul, Baruch Hashem, I got there a little bit early. One of the things I'm trying to work on for this holiday season, after the holiday season, which is what we're going to talk about today. And this guy started looking at me. He was an older Haredi gentleman who probably doesn't know smartphones so well and literally thought I was just talking to myself. I was talking to the phone doing my lessons from the lathe, and he was looking at me like, what is wrong with you? So I stopped recording and I'm like, all right, we'll do this later. I want to dedicate the shiur, first of all, in honor of my parents who are leaving after a not the easiest trip. My father, unfortunately, had COVID. And he's 100% fine, but Baruch Hashem, we're still able to spend time with them. And I wish the trip was a little bit nicer for them, but it's always great to have them. And also dedicated to Zecher Nishma, such a really terrible tragedy. This room that we're in right now, I'm just going to go to see if I'm right as I walk out of it, is dedicated by the Lefkowitz family, as it says out here. Yeah, by Tuvia Lefkowitz, Ariel is a student of our yeshiva. I grew up with him. I remember when he got married. I grew up, meaning he's a bit older than I, but I remember when he got married. And it's very, very sad. He tragically died right before, I believe, right before Shabbos. His neshama should have an aliyah. The body's not yet buried. It's going to be buried here in Eretz Yisrael. We mentioned in our smaller lessons from the lathe, Rav Tendler, who was nifter, who had just a great impact on everyone. Rav Eliach, who my parents reminded me, read my ksuva. I was very, very close to my in-laws. My wife went to Yeshiva Flatbush, who's going to be buried today. All this tragedy happening, very, very sad. So I want to give you some inspiration. I don't want you to be sad. I want you to be happy. And I want to give you some inspiration over what normally happens this just about this week. Right? Last week, of course, was a fake week because it was only half a week. And, you know, the truth is we're still not saying Tachanun. There's a cute, is it called a meme? Is that a proper thing? Yeah, okay, sure, thanks. And it said, I'm going to read it because I thought it was so funny. But for someone like me, it's sort of like rabbi humor. So I sent it around to some people. And here, it said, your 30-day subscription to Tachanun Free Davening ends soon. Please join a Chassidus to extend. They never say it. It says join now. It's a very cute little meme. But life gets back when Rosh Chodesh is over. You know, this week, this is it. And oftentimes we look at some of the things that we might have said over the Yom Kippur holiday or over Aseres Yemei Teshuva or over Elul, and we're like, uh-oh, how am I going to actually keep that? Wow, that's a large sefer. Or those guys, you don't remember the Shana Aleph, right? The guys that bid, you know, Shas, or they said, so Rabbi Boaz says, okay, for this thing we're going to do books of Tanakh. And one guy's like, 85! They're like, there aren't 85. He's like, New Testament! You know, like, no, you know, what are you doing? And there is a tremendous message in this parasha, and that's, of course, the message of the rainbow. And we, of course, learn a lot. It's so difficult to pick one thing out in all these parashas. Over Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, my kids were, like, excited because they had so much to talk about. They were in school for a day, but there's so much going on in the parasha. And, of course, Noach as well. There's so much going on in the parasha. So let's, first of all, just look at the psukim. So we know that there is a halacha that tells us, that's your halacha, that we make a bracha when we see a rainbow. So that means if Chazal want us to look at the rainbow and think something, we need to understand. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Vayomer Elokim, Zos Os Habris, Asher Ani Nosein Beini Ubeinchem, Uben Kol Nefesh Chaya Asher Itchem Ledorot Olam. We understand that Hashem created the world with Bereishit Bara Elokim, with Midas Hadin, and when you did something wrong, you deserve to die for it. The world was destroyed because we know there was Hamas, that's the beginning Psukim of our parasha. There was Hamas, the name Shmo Kenu, by the way, right? Thievery, robbery, there are terrible things going on. And we know that famously said as a business person, I like this vort, that they were stealing sheva pruta, sheva pruta, sheva pruta, what I call justified stealing. They were just stealing a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, right? Somebody said to me on Friday, a business person was saying to me that there's, I don't want to talk about it in great detail, but a new shtick that's going on because people are upset that they didn't get the funding that they should have gotten from the government during COVID. So there's another way to get around getting funding that's totally illegal, and they're claiming things that aren't true, but they're justifying it because they deserved it because they didn't get it the first round. No, they didn't know the right people is what they claim. And what is we going to do? S kishati, and this kesha, this rainbow, nasati b'eno, v'yu la'os bris b'enu b'eno olam. This is going to be the os bris. And we know the Gemara in Brachos already tells us on Daf Nun Tes, the Omer Rab Alexandria, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, ha'royas ha'keshas ba'anan, surach shi'yupel al-panav. He sees this great phenomenon of nature. We take it for granted, obviously. But you fall on your face. Kimara Keshe says, yeah, but Anan. We actually described the Kohen Gadol when you guys were singing like crazy. I was here. Mari Kohen. You're singing Mari Kohen. You go crazy. Yeah, woohoo. Right? And he says, that's what he looked like. Keshes Ba'anan. Wow. He looked so amazing, so wonderful. The Kohen Gadol, when he came out, he had this. So there's a phenomenon here. It's something amazing. Then there's the Shaila in the Gemara. What bracha do you make? Baruch Zoche Habris. Says, no, we extend it. Neman Briso V'kayim B'ma'amaro. Rapapa says, Baruch Zoche Habris V'neman Briso. So, of course, as usual, we combine all them when we make the bracha. And that's the way the Shulchan Aruch Paskins Reish Chav Tes. It says as follows, Sifavs, Harua Keshes Omer. If you see a rainbow, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Zoche Habris, Neman Briso V'kayim B'ma'amaro, V'asur L'Hastakel Bo Yoser. I hope to, if I remember, to ask this question. Why is that? It's strange that we have a bracha that you're supposed to make, but the bracha, really, you shouldn't look at it. But you have to, right? That's almost like saying there's a bracha that we make on exceedingly not good-looking people. I don't recommend you making this bracha. Or on exceedingly beautiful people. I don't recommend you make this bracha either. It's not a good pickup line. Although I have a friend in when we went on a summer program, he went up to a girl, he wasn't far off, and he said to her, this is a pickup line. And he said, Shakachalo ba'ilama, b'shem malchus. She's like, oh, it's so nice of you, da da da. And then he ran away and cried. Okay, anyway, but so how can you have a bracha like this? The bracha that you make on this phenomenon. So it seems to me, but don't look at it, right? You shouldn't look at it so much. Asr lustakel bo yoiser. So how can this be? So before we answer that question, we have to answer the question of what the message is. 20 years ago, we lost my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, was his yurtzeit, over at Chol HaMoed. And unfortunately, the only few negatives I can think of moving to Eretz Yisrael is I had the schus when I was in America. I had it Sibor. Here, the yeshiva's not in. But I had it Sibor. We were able to give like what I call the yurtzeit shir. I'm not zeiche that I should be called a Talmud so much, although Rav Aaron called me his Talmud, and he said to me, who one time he had a good joke that I enjoyed. He was, I thought Rav Aram was very, very funny. He had a wonderful sense of humor. So he called me a Talmud Chacham, and I said, Rebbe, you got the wrong guy. I'm not a Talmud Chacham. He goes, are you calling me stupid? I'm like, what? Are you calling me stupid? And I said, Rebbe, what are you talking about? And he says, you're a Talmud of a Chacham. I'm the Chacham, you're the Talmud. I said, okay, that I'll agree with. So Rav Aram, in his Sefer that unfortunately only has Bereishis and Shemos on it, says some beautiful, beautiful idea. This is Rav Aaron's Warmth and the Light. I'm told it's out of print. And he says something beautiful. Rav Aaron explains what is the... You came in perfect timing because I didn't really say anything yet. What is the message of the rainbow? So on one hand, the Pesukim seem to tell us that this is a bris. The truth is it's not a bris. Why? A bris is generally what we call a covenant. It's something that I got with Hashem, a real bris that a child has, that's a covenant, right? That's an ois bris that we show. We're not doing anything to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's interesting that it's called a bris. And what's that bris? It's haftacha, really, says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. It's haftacha, it's really a promise. What's the promise? The promise is what the Ribbono Shel Olam is promising. And he says, right, my promise is I'm never going to destroy the world. Even though, literally, psukim later, right, the Tower of Babel deserves to destroy the world again. It doesn't. So what's the significance of the Kesha? So yes, as Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was famously known, when we lost Rabbi Tendler,
So Rabbi Tendler was a genius in biology and so many other different fields. He knew everything, medicine, so on and so forth. He was the person you went to when you had your shaila, because he really understood it. Rav Aaron studied everything. He was one of the few Rosh Yeshiva that had a TV in his apartment. And the reason was he wanted to know what was going on. Whenever I used to come in those days I was working for the Ministry of Defense, he wanted the scoop. He says, what are they saying in the Ministry of Defense about Israel? Tell me something I don't know. And I'm like, I can tell you, but I would have to kill you. You know, like pretending like I knew anything. I didn't know anything. So he explains the phenomenon of this token relationship that we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The covenant between Hashem and Noach, the rainbow. So he says, it doesn't mean that the rainbow was created necessarily at this point. In fact, Pirkei Avos tells us it was one of those crazy things that were created at Shkia, right? And he says, obviously, we all know this. I'm just obviously just writing what he said. If you look at Einstein's evolution of physics, you'll understand what I'm saying as far as when it was created, right? You guys know. You read it already. Yep. So what is the rainbow? So we know what the rainbow is scientifically. It's rays of sunlight that is able to penetrate through clouds, the ominous clouds. The clouds are out, and you say, oh, no, it's going to rain. It's one of those days. Or it rained like crazy. I remember this, you know, if you're in summer camp, right, you know what I'm talking about. You're in Camp Masor, and it rains every other day, and you're like, oh, God. Now, my wife is really happy because she ran the waterfront, so she's super happy about it, but most people aren't. And then all of a sudden, a little ray of light comes out, and you see that we happen to have this year. It was a huge thing. So a bunch of guys that are in the Kolo, I don't know why they had a golf cart, they went to pick me up. They go, Rebbe, we got to show you something. I couldn't see it from my cabin because there were trees. There was a keshet. It was mamish, unbelievable. So there's a shaila in halacha, so we actually gave a little shir about this. Because of a shaila, whether you're not supposed to tell somebody else about it, you look in the Mishnah Berurah, there's a lot of shailas over here in this, whether even some say you don't even make a bracha. But what it shows us is that man should not become desperate when he sees that there are members of society not doing the right thing. When you have a guy next to you who's like, lessons from the Lev, I'm not going to go. You're like, no, I'm still going to go. I have pity on Rav Hirsten. No, but what does it mean? When you're Ben Azmanim and the guy next to you, there's no way he's getting up. So don't look at that. There's rays of light. Heard a beautiful vort from someone who I know wants to remain nameless because he already was mentioned on Lessons from the Light. But he said that what was created first, right? Am I right about this? Light, right? What was your vort? Light than darkness. The Ribbono Shel Olam reminds us, I have an addition to that. The Ribbono Shel Olam, then when he finishes off the creation, so he doesn't say that it was the darkness was good. It was the light that was good. There's more light than there's darkness. And of course, as we know, a little ray of light lights up a whole room that's very, very dark. But really, says Rav Aaron, what it really symbolizes is diversity. The rainbow is a result of refraction of the sun's rays. Through the process, a single white light is divided into many components that are, of course, the spectrum of colors that are visible. We find the sight so beautiful that on Yom Kippur, as I described, the appearance of the Kohen Gadol, the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, as it says in the Machzor, is like the appearance of the rainbow in the midst of the cloud, the appearance of the Kohen. Murray Kohen. So if you're at Machzor, you could look it up. What does that teach us? So Rav Hirsch actually speaks about this as well. It speaks about something that we tend to miss. And that is that everybody's different. And everybody has their way of avodas Hashem. And why am I looking at that? We do this a lot. We look at other people. We don't look at ourselves. Right? Now, if you're a Rebbe and you're concerned about your students, so maybe you have the right. But in general, worry about yourself. Worry about yourself. Machlokes, unfortunately, is part of the human nature. We have the very, very difficult task of achdus, of togetherness. And sometimes we feel, and I tell this story all the time, I'm sorry I do, but back in the day when I used to go to the mikvahs on Friday in Ramat Beit Shemesh Bet, before there was a mikvah here, so close, and before I got the mumps. It's a long story, whatever. Doctor said it could have been from the mikvah. Anyway, Now there's COVID, so now we're all like bummed. So it's like, now COVID's like big deal. Of course you get COVID for the mikvah. You know, anyway, fine. So was in Ramat Beit Shemesh Bet, and there were riots going on there. It was a very, very difficult time. In fact, some people said you shouldn't go there. They were rioting against a new school that opened that was like, you know, Dati Lumi, my type of school. It was a long thing. And I said to the mikvah guy, who I had a great relationship with, right? I always used to buy kugel there and stuff. My daughter would never eat kashya. I never, ever will eat kugel that's from a mikvah. I'm like, it's not in the mikvah. It's just, you know, the store. Right? Anyway, so I said to him, I got to ask you, what do you think about what's going on? And he says to me, I don't understand. Why can't there be achdus? As long as everybody's like me, there'll be achdus. We just have to be the same. That's not achdus. Achdus is the rainbow. That person's different. That person's different. That person's different. Rav Aaron quotes a comment from the Rashbam, which is interesting because Rav Aaron also points out that this Rashbam you'll never find. It was taken out of many editions. Where Rashbam explains why Hashem was so indignant with the Dor HaFlaga. What bothered him? We know the Dor HaFlaga, of course. They wanted to build a tower. They made a stupid mistake. They thought they can get up to God. So why is that so bad? He says, no. They viewed their actions alone. They wanted to build a tall edifice. It wasn't about that. It was that they wanted oneness. That everybody has to be achidim. The same. It wasn't that their language was only the same and God then made everybody talk differently and this guy was talking Chinese to the guy who was talking Japanese and they didn't understand each other and a guy was talking Portuguese to a guy and nobody understood what everybody was saying. No, it was more than that, says Rav Aaron. The Rashbam is saying that it bothered him so much because it was the warring type of unity. It was Russia. It was communism. Totalitarianism. Right? You have to be... You're fine if you're exactly like this. Russia was great. As long as you follow the rules exactly, that, nothing's going to happen to you. Right? And all those Jews that practice, that's it. You have to be exact. That's not the rainbow. That's not the message. Diversity is the message, Rabbi Yisai. And we miss this message all the time. We miss this message. We as individuals have to look at this message and say to ourselves, I am different. The greatest thing that I could say, right? We think it's disparaging to say, I'm different. Different is amazing. I have qualities other people don't have. I was talking to a future Rosh Yeshiva. I don't want to get into the details. But someone who's opening up a yeshiva. And we were just having a conversation. I wasn't being interviewed by him. And he said, you know, I hear you work for Leiva Torah for free. We also were looking for people to work for free. And our yeshiva... So he says, but you're going to bring a different tam to the yeshiva. Like, we need a funny guy. We need somebody that has, you know. Right? I always say that one of the greatest brachas I ever get is when a boy says the following thing to me. I know I pointed it out before, but listen to this compliment that I'm hoping was meant as a compliment. It may not have been. Back in the day when I used to teach, like, more formally here in the yeshiva, like, you know, that Sunday, Thursday class, whatever it was. So it was very strict. You know, we had Mar Makomos and... So a kid comes up to me after class, it's like 6:30 at night, and he says, Rebbe, I got to tell you something. I love your shiur so much. You know why? I feel like I haven't learned a darn thing. And I'm like, and he saw my face. He goes, no, you don't know what I mean. I thought that I hated Torah, but I just finished this entire source sheet. I accomplished, but I liked it. That's weird. Right? Because he thought Torah was a subject. Diversity. If we went around the table, one guy might say, I love Gemara, I love Mishnah, I love Mishnah Berurah, I love Musar, it's fine. Gemara says, you should learn Mashach Libo Chafetz Bo. My avoid this Hashem is different. This one likes Karbach, this one hates Karbach. This one likes this type of that, this one like, I like screaming, I don't like screaming. Good, that's avoid this Hashem. The rainbow reminds us of this. And it's a very, very important point. It's a very important point. Another idea that Rav Aaron brings out is, he ends off with, is from Rav Yeshua of Kutna, the Sefer Yeshua's Malko. He says that it's interesting to note I think this is an interesting phenomenon I never thought of before, that the rainbow is not a full circle, it's a semicircle. The Ribbono Shel Olam in an infinite wisdom could have created a whole circle. Mistama, maybe it would have looked a little bit nicer, maybe, I don't know. Why is it this semicircle? And he says, that's the relationship the Ribbono Shel Olam shows with mankind. He says, prior to the flood, Hashem did not impede man from doing whatever he pleased. True Bechiras Chavshus. However, after the flood, Hashem limited man's free will. He did not want man to have the ability to cause harm, evil. Semicircle arch reminds us that Hashem's involved. You can't just do whatever you want. God recognized the nature of his world, utilizing the rainbow, a phenomenon stressing the beauty of diversity as well as the concept of limitation. That's the bris with mankind. The ultimate hope, of course, that all people recognize the truth of the Torah. Yes, I should try to make people from. Yes, I should try. But when a person's doing one mitzvah as Chabad believes, wow, I can't believe I just got that one person to do one extra mitzvah. That's amazing. That's what the semicircle reminds. It's interesting because we have an opposite concept by Avelos. I didn't realize this. That was a question I asked my kids. How do we know Avelos in Parshas Bereishis that says that when Adam and Chava, when Hevel was killed, so they were sitting and having Adashim. This is a custom that we have today. Avelim have a meal where they have an egg, things that are round. In America, it became a minute to have a bagel, things that are round. So remind us that life is round. Things will come back. Don't worry. We do this on Tisha B'Av, Rahman al-Islam. We sit on the floor. But on a higher level, Rabbi Yisai, there is this idea of the stoppage of things. And I think that's maybe why we just learned out that you can't look too carefully at the keshet. And let me explain to you why. I think the idea is that if a person is ma'ayin, he's looking at it too carefully. So that's a bad thing. Because sometimes we do this as well. Right? Sometimes we take diversity to the extreme. And we say, I want to be really different. No. Don't be ma'ayin too much. Right? There is an end. This rainbow doesn't go around in a circle. It stops at some point. Don't use this as the phenomenon of all phenomena. Sometimes I don't want to say we all do this, but I think we do sometimes. Hashem, give me a sign. If you don't give me a sign, forget it. I'm not going to learn today. Like, come on now. Don't be my eye in it too much. You're amazing. You're wonderful. You accomplished so much. Believe in yourself. But don't make a whole drisha v'chakira of, I got to do this, I got to do that. Do the best that you can. The reminder of this time of the year is, it's true. There are a lot of things you might have promised or Rebbe Shlomo you're going to do, and a lot of them, all of a sudden, you've stopped already. Unfortunately, you were like a New Year's resolution by the Goyim. I'm going to lose 20 pounds, and you give all that money to the gym, and then, you know, January 15th, you're like, bye, gym, you know. Okay. Slow but steady is what the Rebbe Shlomo wants. It's interesting to note that after Sukkot, the Esrog, people make jelly out of it, right? The Lulav, we burn with the Chametz to be part of a mitzvah. The Hadassim, I didn't know this, people crush up and use as their besamim. And the Aravos, as the custom is beaten and then put on top of the Aron. Not in Levatar, I don't know why, but that's a very common minhag. Why? So it's quoted in the name of the great rabbis, obviously, the Hasidic masters, that when you get beaten, the Rebbe Shlomo says, come with me, stand with me, hold my hand. Soloveitchik had this unbelievable idea. I forgot what his name was, I think it was Avram Niger. It's in the his Machzer on Yom Kippur. He decided to leave religion and become Jewish, his religion, become Jewish. And they found him. He got in trouble. And they were going to kill him. And they said, we won't kill you if you go back to Christianity. He says, no, I won't. And I forgot who it was who came and visited him. And he said, I'm so scared I'm going to be alone.
I know I'm going up to Shemayim because I became Jewish. But he says, no. Rabbanu Shalom is going to take your hand. So we say, I'm with you. Don't give up now. Even the Arava that's beaten is next to the Rabbanu Shalom. Slow steps. But you're different. That's good. We're all different. Jews are different. We are different. Remember the diversity, but remember the diversity ends at some point. Like the rainbow. There's limitation. And that's okay. We should be zoiche to take these messages to its full potential and be zoiche to live life on the fullest possible level possible.